Father in heaven, we're so privileged this night to be called by your name. And Father, I think that's the most awesome thought that can even come into my being, that you put it in my heart, that you put a call on my life. And what a awesome feeling that is to realize that my boss is the biggest boss in all the world. And I love you so much. I'm a failure without you too, and I realize it, and anytime that I've failed, I want you to help me in those areas. But I'm trying to do thy will. I'm trying to be above reproach. I'm trying to be, to walk where you'd have me walk. And now help me where you want me to talk, where I'll talk for you. And I just thank you for thy loving kindness, for thy tender mercy. And I thank you that you remain the same yesterday, today, and forever, that you do not change. You're always on our side. People leave us, but your word declares that you'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us. Your eyes are over the righteous, and your ears are open to their cry. What an awesome thought also, realizing that we're always within view of you at all times. We can't see you, but you see us. And you're just as close as we will let you be. And we just thank you for that goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for the saving grace. Father, we thank you for Jesus, your special son, that paid a debt that he did not owe, a debt that no one else could pay, but he paid in full through his spotless life above reproach. He was truly a sacrifice of all sacrifice. His sacrifice saved me and he saved the world. And we thank you that you allowed this to happen. But through his example and his shedding his blood upon that cruel cross, that through him and we could live for now and can live forever with you. And Father, we thank you for that peace that passes all understanding. We thank you for also that Jesus, that you said it was, you had to make sure that you left, because without the moving of your spirit, we could not operate in these last hours. You said it was needful that you go away. For if you went away, you'd send the Comforter, which should reprove the world of sin and lift up your name. And Father, we thank you for the power of your spirit. Father, we thank you. You've given us enough tools to work with. You've given us enough helps to help us. You've given us the Word of God, and you give us the Spirit of God, which is life eternal through your Spirit. Father, we thank you for thy blessings this night. We pray that you'd bless your people evermore, and we pray for the sick. I pray for Al this night, and I pray for all those around us that have loved ones that have need a touch out there in the world today. If you have a need, we pray that you'll reach out and believe God, that God's going to touch that, meet that need right now in Jesus' name. Father, we claim for those lives that are going through disappointments, through times of struggle, we pray that you'd lift them up and encourage them, because I know that you're faithful. Your eyes are here to help us. Your hand is not short that you cannot reach out and touch us. And your ears are open to our cries. And Father, we thank you and we just praise you this night for your deity, of your wonderful power, your saving grace. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you're not a respecter of person. And Father, that is what's so awesome, and how you look at every one of us the same. You look at us all as equals. We know that that's just something that you could do that no one else could do that, because we'd all have partialities. We'd all think in our own mind this one or someone be greater. But you don't. You know these things beyond. You're spectacular in all these areas that we become lacking. We have not all the what it takes, but with you helping us, we become more than conquerors through Jesus, which helps us. And Father, we just pray for a mighty blessing this night in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. I truly believe that we're living in the most wonderful, most blessed time it's ever been since God made this universe, when man first came upon this earth. I believe that God is going to do a supernatural work within his people. It's going to be a very special blessing. And if we can believe in our hearts, through belief is one of the areas that a lot of people become a little shallow in. They don't really want to put any belief in what they're doing. But God expects us to have a belief, and we trust in him. The 91st Psalms, is tonight that the Lord wanted to put it on our heart, because it talks about dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. And truly, as God's people, we have to come to that secret place that we trust God, not because someone else is showing us or telling us even. We trust God because he's God. Because if we're doing it for someone else, then we're losing the purpose of what we're calling. We can think on that, but God has to draw us with His wonderful Spirit. And when He does that, then He wants us to come in that positive relationship. I believe that each one of us can have that individual, unique blessing that God's very special to us. That each one of us is different. And we need to get that down in our heart that He can do these things that we need to, that we become lacking within, with understanding and all the phraseology and everything that goes with it. But to God, it's all things are possible. And sometimes it's from purpose, but we see things very distorted. And through that, we think things are not going to work. But that's where faith has to come in. When that distorted, what you see is distorted, you have to see it through the eyes of God, that knowing because God said it, it's going to happen. Because He said it. And that's why it's the most special. I can't imagine any adventure that I could go in life and have what I've seen in just the last 30 years. I've seen things that most people say, well, here, I'm lying, but I'm telling you the truth. It's the gospel truth. God truly is with us if we want Him. He lets us be tried. He lets us go through situations to see how we cope with life. And He's going to do the same with everybody else. He's not a respecter person. He's going to do the same with each one of us. So in those areas, we don't lean on our own understanding. Because we see it's not going to happen, but we have to have the eyes of faith because God spoke it, and we speak things in existence ourselves because our faith in Him makes it happen. We make it happen by the faith that we have. Jesus said, if we say the sycamore tree be plucked out, it will happen. The faith is what we have to have. Faith is beyond is something that we cannot get unless we study God and we allow Him to multiply what faith we have. He gives us all a measure. In Romans, it says He gives us all a measure of faith. Every one of us, He's given a measure of faith. But after He comes into our heart, then we have to let that measure grow till we have hopefully 100-fold. But if we maybe get 30-fold, whatever we get, we need to keep multiplying it, because as we do this, God is satisfied with us and He has us come to that place of pleasing His heart. The Bible says we might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, and a long suffering. Well, there's a little long suffering, but then it says with joyfulness. So when you go through things, before the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There's also joy. There's peace. You know, I can't explain it. Sometimes when I've been hurting the worst is when I felt more joy than I ever felt. And I can't explain it, but it's God that does that. He helps you through, and you just look at it in your natural mind. You say, well, I'm just going to give in. You're going to quit. You're one of these things that we can do because we're mortal. But then in Psalms 103, it says, He remembers that we were made of dust. He remembers, and that dust is us. And He takes this dust and moves on us with His mighty Spirit. He moved upon the deep. He moves in our lives also daily, yearly, monthly, but it starts growing, and you can't see a real drastic change day for day, but if you'll stay in with the Lord, you'll see a gigantic growth as you keep believing in Him. He does it that way because the Bible says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap if ye faint not. That is ours. We have to have that trust. If we could see it happening, all we'd say, look how it's happening, and we'd get so childish in our beliefs that that'd be the end of it. But God, He wants us to expand, and the only way that you can get more power out of these bodies is to work it to the farthest as you can work it. The same spiritually. God expects you to expand your spiritual muscles or spiritual strength as greater problems, greater things that seems unbelievable to what you're seeing. But with God, all things are possible. To those that can move in that direction, they're going to see great and mighty exploits in these last days, because Daniel prophesied many years ago it was going to come to pass. And any one of God's servants prophesies it will come to pass. In James, it says, He longeth for His children to come home. Anything that God longs for is going to happen. God doesn't make mistakes. He longs for something that's going to take place. He longs for us to come into His presence, so it's going to take place. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ,
It says, thou shalt be saved, but all added to that are blessings growing in him, and positive thing, negative thing, but all positive relationships come as you believe through God and faith. And so it's like our president. I've said before, if I called him up right now, he'd probably have his agents out here checking me over, and I would never get probably an audition to talk to him because it's for safety. But God, I get an audition with God all the time. You think about it. And he's the mover of the whole universe. He controls the sun, the stars, all the galaxies. He does it all, but yet he comes down to live within your heart. And it's bigger than I can understand, but I know that I love it, and I thank him for it, and I believe I can, in my little bitty teeny mind, I can receive that. And with that rep that I don't have, I do it by faith. Believe in God, I just trust you, because you'll never left me. You'll never fail me. You know, people will fail you. They'll make promises to you. They won't keep their word. I've seen this in life. Christians the same way. But God never lets you down. He's proven that to me time and time again. He will not let us down. He is always there. He's not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness. But it says long-suffering, that's word, not willing that any should perish. He's not willing that any of us perish, but all come to repentance. It's so simple that people are missing it. What he has for us is really right down to earth faith in God, and it works. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved, but also whatever thing that God has moves the same way. The first step that we come to the Lord, we have to do it by faith. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're confessing, and the Bible says he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us of all righteousness, and that's the first step in life. But that step in the life of God needs to sort of improve daily. Yearly or monthly and years by years. We grow in the nature and admonition of God. And God expects us to start growing that we'll have a fruitful life. That when someone comes to us and says, I need help, the Spirit of God says right there, you don't have to get out and re-gear up. You don't have to say, what am I going to do? Am I going to call someone? No, it's already been done. It's processed through God. God processes our life every day. He brings us up to an up-to-date tally every day of our life. He knows where we're headed. He knows what we're going to say. Basically, he knows what we're going to do. And he's there to help us. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noiseless pestilence. This is the area that most people become frightened in about the things of the super, what they call the supernatural, because they're dealing with spirits. And bad spirits are here everywhere. They're here whether you love God or don't love him. So that you should be afraid of him, but God can help you deal with those bad spirits, and the Satan can't help you. He won't help you. He wants you to get worse. God wants to better you. God wants to better you in everything you do. He wants you to have a life above reproach. He wants you to live above controversy of what people think, what they believe. It doesn't make any difference what anybody thinks about me, but what God thinks. And when we can pass that first hurdle, it's one of the first steps that we need to hurdle, come over. It doesn't make any difference what no one thinks. I know my God will keep me. I know he's righteous. I know he's faithful. I know he satisfies. There's no one that can satisfy your soul like Jesus. There's nothing can take the power of God that's so universal, blessing for this whole universe, but yet he'll come down in our living rooms, into our bedrooms, or our sleeping. He's there. His eyes are the righteous. We need to get that down in our side. That many times we say, well, I feel alone. Well, God's there. You don't have to feel alone. That's why I sort of like to go out working by myself, because I know he's there. And then he gets all the attention. My attention. And I think that's what we really realize. He is the one that we need to prove ourselves to him. Most of us, God showed me, and I know it's the truth, we try to prove ourselves to other people. And then there's always walls that go up there because people don't like to be showed up. So then there's some people got to be the best. So then you've got some warring going on there because you're trying to be the best, but you're carrying what they think, and they're carrying what you think. So anyway, there's resistance both ways, and this is not godly before God. We're not to fret ourselves because of these things. We're to be above reproach. We're to walk in his glory. and the unity of God not being moved upon by the variety of many counselors is from generally from ourselves.
And that's how different religions get started. That's how different things happen. Because we all actually look at this Bible a little different because it's natural. But when we get the Spirit of God, you'll come up to one force. You'll feel that connection of a supernatural closeness of oneness, singleness of heart that comes by the Spirit. That's why God has to move through His Spirit. All other avenues, there's warring, there's fretting, because everybody has different things, because we're doing it in our natural. The natural man receives, I've said before, receives not the things from the Spirit of God, for the foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, for the spiritually discerned. Going to our present, if I would go to him and ask him something, he would have to search it out in the natural. As great as he is, he would have to search it out in the mat, unless he was a praying man. And if he is a real deep man, then he could test me out in the Spirit. But if he doesn't have the Spirit of God, he can't test me out. He's going to have to approach the subject in the natural. You have to have the Spirit of God, and it's a supernatural aid that helps you beyond the response of the people, the context of those round about you, because everybody is challenging everybody in what they believe, what they see, and what they know. But God's beyond that. He goes to an area that you don't even know. He does it because through what he is. Because there's a call in your life, God's going to move upon you mightily in a different way than someone that doesn't care for God. God's not going to move upon him. But those who seek God, he will surely make himself known to those who will call upon him. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my mighty God. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from the noise of his pestilence. No evil shall fall thee, nor plague come nigh on thy dwelling. These are commands that God wants to build. This is for the saints. It's not for the unsaved. It's for the saints of God. This is for the saints. Most of this word is for the saints. It's not for Black Jack Joe or no one else. It's for the saints of God. This word is printed out. The saints of God would grow in the nature and admonition of their Father. They would take on His nature. The nature of God wasn't in us when we come to God. We grow into His nature. We grow in love. We grow in perfection. We grow in waiting upon God. Many people, we get so many things that happen all at once in our lives, we don't know where to start. And truly, that's where it should be. God moves upon us as His. He helps us in the beginning years. He helps us all the way through. We never outgrow God. There's a new something every day of our life. There's a new frontier. There's something beyond imagination. There's something beyond anything that we can imagine. God is always constantly, He's not in our thinking. He doesn't even think in our same realm. So that's why we have to wait upon Him, to seek Him, to call upon Him, that He would rest His attention to us. The old kings, I think they drew their scepter out. But God does it in a different means. He comes and comes upon you and puts His love upon you. And you feel no one has to tell you that it's God, because God is supernatural. There's nothing that feels like the Spirit of God. There's nothing that satisfies like the Spirit of God. So if what happens when people want to get the big head and they want people to think that they're moving the Spirit, well, that's the wrong approach to get them. And it puts you, could even get wrong spirits doing that. But people try to do play again that they're moving the Spirit. Their whole mandate is wrong. Everything they're doing, they that wait upon the Lord, it has to be a supernatural walk with God. And that's what happens many times. People play church. They play. They think that, well, I can, I have people, I've even seen them, they made up prophecies. Well, but I'm pretty hard on them. I tell them, I says, that, you can't do that. And they don't like it because I tell them that, but it's the truth. We need God, and that's the first step for life when we start moving through God. We got to make sure it's God and not ourselves. But the way to getting, also, this is another area that people don't see, you have to be above somewhat of sin. Because God says He cannot even look upon sin. So if we're out here in deep sin, and you're saying that God's speaking through you, it's a lie. Because your fruit isn't bearing. We're to bear fruit for God. That fruit comes as we grow in Him. the love of God, the love, joy, peace, their fruit that we have to bless us, to bless those around about us, that we be a servant of pleasure to God. Not just a servant of labor, but of God will see us as a servant of pleasure for Him. He sees us as a visitation. He puts His visitation upon us that we receive it with gladness of heart. Singleness of heart. Gladness is that I'm happy when my God offers me something. I respect Him. We need to respect Him that He is the highest order of any order there is. A natural man can't have this. God is God. And that's another place we get in trouble. The Bible says in Thessalonians that the last out days of Satan will come into the churches. That's what it says, as God. And I'm pretty sure he's there a lot of places. He comes, the Bible says, you can't even know that he is in it. He comes in as an angel of light. So that means when he comes in, you don't know that he's wrong. And this is what's so devilish in these last hours. There's things that come into our being that's not from God. So God gets a black eye for something he didn't even do. And we should be close enough to God because God has given us the spirit of discernment. The spirit of discernment discerns, if you don't know, it discerns whether it's from God or not from God. If this is not in focus or in being in your facilities, then things come in and take you unaware. Bible says we're not to come in and be taken with unaware. That means we find ourselves being duped by the enemy, and we're sitting back there and say, I thought that was the Lord. And all the time it's the enemy. So we need to be quick to hear of God. And that's why God has a foundation that has to be on holy ground. It has to be on holy words. It has to be above those that are striving to do His will. These people that have anything goes, I have to say that I know that they cannot get anything from God. They can do it through the natural, whatever they want to go. But Satan even gives works in these last days. It says he's going to come in like a flood. But God will raise up a standard against him. So he's going to come in against God's people. Satan wants to ruin every child of God. He wants to come into them, to give them great hassle, to bless them with curses. But God wants to bless you with his love. God wants to bless you with loving kindness. God wants to fulfill the calling that's in your life. He wants you to grow to be a child of praise, a child of honor, that God can trust you. He can believe you that you'll not let him go. God wants us to believe in the true and the living God. He is forever faithful, and God will keep us through the hours of temptation. If we will call upon him and seek him and desire spiritual food, we're going to get spiritual food. But if we get out here in a loose condition, says, well, it's all right, everybody's the same, pretty soon compromising never ends up with the same force that started out. It means it divides. Every time you compromise, it divides. The good part is divided down, and there's not much good left. It's most all darkness if you compromise. God wants to be above reproach. He wants to walk in the Spirit that we not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, pulling down strongholds. That's what we're talking about. Pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations. These imaginations appear for the devil. And every high thing that exalts itself against the Spirit of God, bringing every thought to the obedience of Christ Jesus our Lord. The Bible talks about schisms. These are things that trouble many Christians because we're getting out in an area that it's not God's territory. God says, back off, my people. Come unto me. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide. So we to stay righteously have to stay in the secret place of the Most High. That we have the effect of the world doesn't really have any focus on our lives. Love not the world, neither things of the world. Any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. God's got an offering of something that's so great, so spectacular, so glorious, beautiful, so wonderful, beyond every feel of glory. Hallelujah. I get carried away when the Spirit of God is so wonderful, but how people bargain with him. God's not on the bargaining table. What agree with having a temple of God with idols, for ye are the temple of the living God. God has not given us arbitration of sin. God has not given us, we all fail, but we need to come out from that as we can. God gives us time to work out these problems. But if we go out here and deliberately sin,
There's things as sinning, but there's sins as unto death. When we go against the Spirit of God, then Jesus said, he says, these things are not forgiven. So when these things, it means they're greater in nature. It's like violations in the land that we live in. Seatbelt violation, they make a lot of tickets out, but it's not a real deep violation. Speeding is a little violation, but you get out here and murder somebody, it should be a great violation. If the law is where it should be. If you get out here and rape someone, it should be a great violation. You shouldn't get by with these things. That's what I'm saying. God sees these. We're going to stand before that. Our works are going to be. God's going to even judge our works. He's going to judge our heart. He's going to judge what causes us thinking. If our minds are out here joy-venting through the world and living beyond a realm that God would have us be, then when we come up, what we work in, we're not going to have the right tools within us to be able to combat the things that God expects us to combat because of our loose living. Loose living, and it may not be only our thoughts. God wants to have you think of the things that are good. Think of the things that are lovely. Think of good report. God wants to think on Him. He will keep us in perfect peace. His mind is stayed on thee because we trust in thee. Only I can do this by error. No one else can do it. I have to take the cross up and say, I want to follow you. And each one of us has to take it up. Everybody would say, well, you know, I'm going to follow. A lot of people in America fear, well, you know, if I go to church one time a year, a couple times a year. I mean, this is literally true what I'm saying. That's that God's merciful. Because I read this word of God, He's not merciful in those areas. We don't play church. We don't make a sham unto God. And that's what we do. We make sham unto God to say, oh, it's all God permits it. No, He doesn't. He says He can't even look at sin. He looks through us the blood of Jesus that we are saved. He made that package that if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. But through that, we have to grow. And then Hebrews, it says, if we go keep on, there's no more remission of sin. If we keep going down in the depths, and that's why we need the precious Holy Spirit through our walk. We need the precious Holy Spirit in our churches. We need the precious Holy Spirit in our marriages. We need the precious Holy Spirit in our work. And I can prove that, God, you'll be a better man or better woman if you have the precious Holy Spirit, even in your job. You can do it better. You can do it because God is on your side. You have strength, supernatural strength. Like last week, I've seen that on that rock that I would probably had a heart attack. But I went with that rock about 6 hours with a sledgehammer. And I should have just fell over, and I didn't. But God was showing me in that. He could have done it supernaturally, but I beat it out myself. So we're going to have to, in these last hours, do some things. God will give us the strength. He will give us the poise. He will give us the leadership. He will give us the commands. But some of we're going to have to work out that in our own dimensions. We're going to have to get physical in some of the things that we do. We're not just going to have a hayride with God. God wants to have some champions. God wants to have some people that have known Him, that love Him, that put their life on the line. It'd be unfair for God to have people have what by stake and have given their life and then have us give us an easy ride. No, God have us. We have to learn that there is some kind of a sacrifice. Jesus said, take up thy cross daily and follow me. He that cannot do this is not worthy of my kingdom. So there is something about taking up our cross and that God will help us. God's not a hard taskmaster. Oh, we get out here and start backing up to the place and, you know, we can just do anything we wish to do and God's going to condone it. He's not condoning. He's not condoning sin. He's not condoning things that we do willfully, that we come in. We have to realize, and there's people in the churches that had one time had the first love, and they'd had signs and wonders. They'd had powers of God. And tonight, they're far from God. And the Bible says, He wants us the last day to be on fire. Be steadfast, unmovable, always bound in the work of the Lord. Know that your labor is not in vain. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God says, call on me and I will answer thee. And I'll show you great and mighty things that you know not. God's, His ears are open to His people. He's here listening to us. And many of us never call upon Him. We go maybe one time of service and we don't really get in any depth in that service. No move of the Spirit. And then we find out why we get plagues when we get sick.
They've never known what I've known, but they're facing it. And with me, it's just like Jesus. You can do little among your own because of unbelief. I'm just saying it how it is. You've hurt for them. But this is what's, we need this wonderful God. I don't know why God poured the Spirit up. We need it. We need to search for it. We need to strive for it. We search for it. We want it because it's valuable. It's a great commodity that God wants to give us. But many, in fact, we argue about, oh, you think we have to have it at church? You know, God, let's bring this down. I've heard this said. Oh, you know, we don't want that. We want people when they come into our church that, you know, we got a church just like our neighboring church. God says, we're not to compromise. We're not to look like another church. We're to look by God. He wants each one of us to look by Him. He don't want us to go to that second rock and compare. God wants to have the real stuff. We have the real stuff. You don't have to compare with nobody because you are with God. You without the real thing, you're comparing. But you have the real thing. You don't have to worry because God is where He wants you to be. You don't worry about nobody else because you're only thinking about your Heavenly Father and Jesus, the power of the Holy Ghost. They make it where we can live holy. And this 91st Psalm, there's the last couple of verses I'd really like to bring out because we all going to get old. God doesn't come. I believe that we're coming. All things are being fulfilled. I believe that the coming of the Lord could be tonight, tomorrow. I believe it's all been, the fulfillment's there. But if God happens to let this happen, with long life I will satisfy Him and show Him my salvation. With long life. That's God speaking. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. That's God speaking. Oh, hallelujah. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him and set him on high because he hath known my name. We know his name. It's not like, I don't know President Bush. I'm not saying anything about him, but what I'm saying, God wants us to know him personally. Have an up-to-date birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants to have an up-to-date knowing that you know who you're speaking to. God wants us to be attentive to His voice. This is my sheep know my voice. They come on my call, and a stranger they do not know. We need to have that up-to-date searching for God, believing that He is real. There's too many people this last day say anything's okay with them. They think that God is he's such a loving God that He permits for anything. But it's untrue. I wish it was that. I know that God would like to have it that way because He doesn't want one soul to be lost. He wants every soul this earth to be in eternity with Him. He has a place. But if we willfully go against Him, God has no other alternative but to say, hey, you made up your bed, and now you're going to have to lay in it. That's terrible. You've lived in sin all your life. You know, I can't take you to heaven because I've got a righteous place in heaven. And you wouldn't fit good in heaven, but you've got a place down there that you want them to be your friends. You're going to live with them the rest of your life. And then your life is going to go on for eternity in the bad place. It's going to take a lot to get to heaven. It's going to take a lot. It's going to take a lot of searching. Bible talks about in Jeremiah, if we search diligently, search for Him, we will surely find Him. I wish I could tell about myself. I'm really concerned about myself a lot of times too. We need to realize that God has put a great call in this wonderful word. And anybody that lets this word down, they don't know the truth. The truth is not in them. They need to realize that God has a deity of holiness. Without holiness, no man shall see or please God. There's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We need to really classify God is holy, but He's always truthful. He will never change His word. We can get out here and try to bend God's word, and a lot of people do bend God's word, but that's not still saying it's right. God didn't change His. The people that's reading the word change it. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will keep you. He will give you joy. I'm speaking full of glory. He will lighten your pathway. He will go before you. He will harmony to you that you will never feel alone. You'll never feel ashamed. You're the righteous. They've never seen them forsaken. Neither seed begging bread.
God will not forsake the righteous. He will keep his word. And that's why it's not fair. God said it's not fair. If he would do the same for everybody, these righteous live. The martyrs have given their life. There's people in Korea that I know that were buried alive, given their praise to God. So it wouldn't be fair to God if God didn't say, hey, you've got to do a little something too. He's made it pretty easy on us. He's really made it easy on us. I've had it really easy. But God might get it, make it a little tougher too. We need to realize that God has challenged us this last hour because he has a wonderful prize beyond. There's nothing in this world that even comes close to what the prize he gives the believers. So if you miss it, you've missed it all. Your life, you'd felt you'd never been born. That's what the Bible says. You will feel that you wish you'd never been born. It's got to be the greatest prize that's ever been through the very beginning of man. God in his thinking is so gigantic, but he's been up there preparing that heavenly home since Jesus went back. So, you know, there's going to be some splendor up there. There's going to be some great things that we can't even imagine what it is. It's beyond our reckoning. We don't even understand. We have that faith in God that it's going to be. So it is going to be. That's beyond anything in this world that we have thought for. We love the things of this world, many of us. But those things you love are going to take you wrong the pathway of sin, of despair. And you'll lose out. And if we lose out the things of God, it'd be better if we'd never been born. I'm telling you, hell is a terrible place. God has something wonderful. But if hell is a terrible place. It's a place that it's beyond our... We weren't made for it. It's only for the angels of hell. But God wants given us a supernatural home in heaven. He says, come unto me, for I, the Lord thy God, am calling this night. My people, come, wake up, for I'm coming soon. My coming is coming through the heavens. But I say, mankind, all this earth, they're not really looking. I say, I give some wake-up calls, and they, for a few days, they get take a little heed to it, but then they get down their own careless ways. I say they get back in their own, they pick up their same habits, they pick up their same toys of sin, and they forsake the Lord their God. And I say even my church is doing the same thing, they're making allowances to do these things, and I say I do not allow compromises against those things of darkness. My people must remain holy, my people must remain with spotless their lives, that they might walk in my presence, that I would guide them, and I would direct them, and I would protect them. And I shall give them strength day by day, and I shall feed them, and I shall comfort them this last hour. And I say, when the enemy comes in like a flood, I, the Lord thy God, shall comfort my beloved, and I shall keep them through the times of struggles, through the time. And I say, those that go not my way, I say they're going to have troublesome times. I say there's going to be heartaches, struggles, not banqueting tables, but the opposite. They will see starvation. They'll see sin rampant. They'll see the jails that cannot hold all the prisoners. They will see the hospitals that won't have beds enough to help the sick. They will see plagues. They'll see pestilence. They will not, even their conveyances will have troubles. I say everything upon this earth will have troubles in the last hour, but my people need to be ready and gone from here when that day arises. Look up, my people, for I'm coming soon. I say, look up, for I'm coming in the clouds. Be ready, be ready, be ready, says the Spirit of God, for I love thee. Why dost thou say that I love thee, unless I really love you? Because I love thee, my ones. I wish thee to live with me forever, but I say, you must choose you this day who you will serve, saith the Spirit of God. I'm not going to compromise on that, because God says, choose you this day whom you will serve. That's the Lord. Father, I just pray your benediction on these wonderful words that you've given tonight. I pray that you'd bless the hearts of your people. Lord, I pray that you'd move upon your people, that people might be ready. They need the Holy Spirit. We need the presence of God. We need everything that you have. We need every tool. You know our kitchens. We know all the best tools in our kitchen. But we need tools for our salvation. We need the tools of justified by the Spirit of God. We have the tools that we have, that we might receive power, that we might receive strength, a tool of love. All these many blessings that only you can give us. Father, we pray for your people in a mighty way this night. We pray for those that need forgiveness. I ask for forgiveness of me. I pray that I will be closer that every day that I'll not backslide to some degree, and I want to be coming to perfection. I want to walk holier tomorrow than I have today. And forgive me that I might walk into thy presence with dignity for you this day. Father, we pray for a mighty blessing on your people. I pray for a mighty blessing for those who are going to be traveling this weekend. I pray for those at the air and wherever they're going. I pray for the people throughout this world this day that's traveling on conveyances of transportation. I pray that they'd be blessed. For the group here, I pray that you'd bless them in a mighty way. And we thank you this wonderful day. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your anointing. We thank you for your mighty strength. We thank you in the wonderful name of Jesus, that name of higher. Oh, I pray. Oh, Lord, I don't even know where to stop. God bless you all. I pray that God will bless you all. Well, thank you in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Boy, I didn't want to stop tonight.